My name's Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It is now 21 minutes past midnight on Saturday, the 11th of July 2009. Could you please tell me your full name, your date of birth, and where you've come from?
My name is Gay Hickey. I was born on 23rd August 1945, and I've come from Edinburgh today.
Thank you. How are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth?
Terrified. No, I'm really excited. I have been veering between absolute rigid terror and hysterical excitement all day, and my granddaughters are with me and they've been doing exactly the same. Of course, we're winding each other up as well, and I hear them popping balloons outside, which isn't helped too much.
How have you been winding each other up?
Just, oh, we were on the tube and one of the little ones said, "How does it feel that nobody on this whole big busy tube knows you're going to be standing on that plinth on your own?" And stuff like that. She, I think really the reality of it has just hit them when they've arrived in London today, because when we asked if they'd like to come down at Lee, they had just about a month before been to see the Angel of the North. And the littler one, who is seven, said, at some point in the last week when we were preparing to come, she said, "I'm really excited you're going to be standing on the Angel of the North." And she'd kind of mixed up what we'd explained about the plinth and Anthony Gormley. And anyway, she was convinced. I think she was a bit scared I was going to be standing on the Angel of the North, because she knows it's fake. But we explained to her that that wasn't quite the case. And so, they've been getting more and more excited. And when we saw Trafalgar Square tonight in the taxi, they really started. I mean, they should be in bed hours ago, but they're having a lovely time.
And how does it feel spending the day in London knowing that you'll be going on the fourth plinth?
Oh, I wished it was time, all the time. We got here about six and had supper, and it was all over too quickly. And it was, oh, it's only 7:30. You know, it was, and the girls were, of course, "Are we there yet? Is it time yet?" So now it's nearly time, and I'm really, really, really relieved, actually, that it's time. I've been so looking forward to it.
And are they staying to watch you in the square?
Oh, yes. And I've got two more grandchildren coming, and a friend just arrived as a surprise from Germany, and some friends, about five different friends who lived in London, are coming as well. So I'll have some people shouting at me, which will be good.
So how did you first find out about the project?
I think I read about it in a newspaper article. I can't absolutely remember, actually.
And what inspired you to take part?
Just a chance of a lifetime. Just a completely unique chance, and in your mid-60s these unique chances maybe won't be coming up so much more in the future, and just grab it. And also I think certainly for me in this particular instance, I think my age has actually made it possible for me to have the confidence to apply. I don't think I would have done it in my 20s or my 40s even, maybe, but I feel now that I've got enough confidence to stand up there and say, well, this is who I am, this is who I've become, and I'm giving out clues tonight about what made me who I am and what I've become. They're all tied to a balloon, and they're going to float off one by one, and if people find them, they'll have a little clue about part of me, but they won't know all of me.
How did you feel when you first found out you got a place on the plinth?
I was amazed, and I had to really think about it hard for a couple of days, because it was a really bad time for work and family commitments. I'd committed to having my girls this weekend, and I was sort of weighing up chance of a lifetime, family commitment, chance of a lifetime, family commitment. And then my wise husband said, "Look, we'll do both. We'll go, you'll go, and we'll take the girls with us." And it all kind of fell into place. My anxieties about going, because I knew to have their support, my little plinthesses would be with me, and it would be, you know, it would be really a cushion. And they would thoroughly enjoy it, and they would hopefully remember it. And so it all fell into place at that point.
So you've mentioned it briefly already, but we had sirens in the background.
Yes.
Would you mind telling us again exactly what you'll be doing on the plinth?
I've written out tags, and I've laminated them, that have a piece of me on them. They're either a place or a person or something that has added to who I now am at 63. And I'm tying them sometimes in pairs, sometimes in three at a time, depending on the grouping, to helium balloons. And I'll just explain, I'll pull a balloon, I'm tying them to my wrist, I'll pull the balloon down, look at the tag, explain it briefly, and snip it off, and it'll go wherever it goes. And on the back of the tags is a sort of blanket, repeated, you've found one of my lairs, sent off from Trafalgar Square on date and time, and the website address for one another. So not my own, because I didn't really want to give that away, because you don't know who's going to pick them up, but or if they will get picked up, you know. But it was a way of contacting back to one another project.
Would you mind giving us some examples of what is written on some of those tags?
Oh, well, all my children's names, of course, and my husband's name, and things like the Everly Brothers and Elvis and books and films and places, a lot of places that I've been to that have meant a lot, and some sad things which I'll probably just let float off. In fact, it'd be quite cathartic, let them float off, wouldn't it? And I'm not sure that Edith Piaf got it quite right. I think you do regret some things, but this is maybe a time to let them go in a balloon. What else? Love. I have love on a lot of them. Unconditional, though, has to be. Mainly the relationships in my life, I think, that have built me and knocked me back occasionally, but rebuilt me again. I would say that's probably the thread that goes through them.
So why have you chosen to do that from the plinth?
Because I was talking to a woman, a stranger I hadn't met before, at a 60th friend's birthday party, and a friend's 60th birthday party, and we both, if we had been sort of high five kind of women, we would have done high five, because we said at a certain age you become invisible, and it's actually quite a good thing, because you can walk past a building site and you can walk into a posh party, or you know, into a very kind of demanding situation, maybe a very posh shop or something, and you're invisible because you're a certain age, and you're not challenging, therefore you're not judged. So it's a cloak of invisibility which you can wear, but underneath it all, you know how strong you are and what is all in there, and actually the invisibility didn't really matter. Or you can choose to take it off and become very visible, which I'm obviously going to do tonight. Globally visible. And I'm wearing red. So it's going to be... And I'm going to have balloons. So, yes, it was to do with the comfort. I think the comfortable place I've got to with being the age I am and with the history I have. I'm probably sounding incredibly smug, actually. So I'm feeling a bit. I do feel smug. I'm very happy and very fulfilled, and I don't have any reason not to celebrate that, I think.
Would you mind telling us some of the things that are important to you in your life?
My family, my children, my work. I work for a charity called Relationship Scotland, which is about family support, family mediation, counselling, contact centres across Scotland. And I think I joined that because both my husband now and I have been married before, and we've had differing experiences of the breakups of our marriages and experiences of our relationships continuing with our extended family and children. And I think probably because I believed so strongly that you can handle that kind of thing properly or not so well, that I wanted to do something that reinforced that. So that my work is very important to me. I didn't think I'd still be working at 63, but I can't think of a time when I won't be now. But I think love is my biggest tag there. It's got the most the most stars and bells on it. So yes, it's love and relationships that build me and hold me and strengthen me.
Who would you say that you're doing this for?
Oh gosh, now I hadn't really thought of that. What an extraordinary thing, I hadn't thought of that. I've done it, I suppose it has to be me, because I've done it so that I could be part of this project, part of this, what I think is an amazing, awe-inspiring project. And to be part of it is sometimes it would catch my breath sometimes when I was thinking about it in the last few weeks since I've known and been trying to plan it and stuff. Yeah, probably me, selfishly. But I really hope that by involving the girls and my other children, I really hope that they'll remember it and think they're all sort of saying, "Oh, we're really proud of you, Granny." So I love that, and you know, they've got badges to give out saying that's my granny up there, which they're going to do while I'm up there. And I hope they seem to be really proud of me too, and they're having an experience which they haven't had before and may never again, same as I am.
What are your hopes for when you get up on plinth? What do you hope will happen when you're up?
I hope I feel comfortable. I hope I'm not heckled, because I think at this time of night there can be some really uncomfortable people out there. But and I really hope that people will see that there is virtue in being comfortable in who and what you are, rather than fulfilling some stereotypical, she could lose a few pounds, or, you know, what does she think she's got to offer up there? Everybody has got something to offer and is unique and has a history and is built from a great deal of experience and wisdom, I have to say. Wisdom and, yeah, experience. So I want people to see that I'm not afraid to stand up there. I'm not campaigning. I had to juggle campaigning for my charity work. But that's a Scottish charity, and I didn't actually feel it was a particularly relevant thing to do. I think this is a far more global project. And I think the people who've been campaigning on global issues have been doing a good job. I haven't particularly enjoyed watching people who are doing self-promotion or commercial promotion. I don't think really that's what it's about, and I do think it's quite interesting how many people have been on the telephone, because I started to think that was really boring, but then I thought, no, this is actually what we do nowadays as a nation. People spend much of their days with their ear glued to a telephone. So I can hear my grandchildren squealing outside. Probably the mic will pick them up. I've lost the trail there, sorry.
Okay.
What am I hoping people will see? What will I feel? Did I say it? I think I've said it, have I? Yeah.
Do you have any fears about what will happen when you're up there, or concerns at all?
I have no idea how I'll feel about physically being up there, because I've never done it. I probably will take the hand post with me, because I might need it. I've tried to look at a place on the floor at home to find out how big it is, and it looks quite big. But you know, these things you just don't know. I didn't know if the helium canister was going to work till I got it here. You know, you've got to sort of, these little anxieties have got to be ticked off, and I think I'll be fine. You've not probably had anybody absolutely collapse up there when they got up yet. So I hope I won't be the first.
Do you have any other expectations about what will happen when you're on the plinth?
I think I'll feel completely exalted when I've done it. I don't know if that'll kick in until I actually come off. But no, I think I'll feel good. I feel good. I'm glad it's not raining. I'm so glad my family are around. I'm hearing more of them now, actually, outside. And that's an incredible strength. I mean, if it was... one of your colleagues was telling me about somebody who had just taken a secret day off work and hadn't told anybody, and I thought that was so sad. Brave actually, because I don't know how anyone could do it without the support around them that, you know. Will you pick up her? Because she's got a loud voice, my Rosie. She's all right though. She's one of the reasons I'm here after all.
You've spoken a lot about your family in the interview. Would you mind telling us a little bit about your family?
I have three children. My firstborn, Samantha, lives in Amsterdam with her Spanish husband and two very beautiful, volatile Spanish-Scottish girls. My son, Patrick, lives here with his beautiful wife, and Gabriel and Martha. My other daughter, my youngest daughter, lives in Portobello, near me in Edinburgh, with three children, Max, who is a superstar tennis drummer. He's got a tennis tournament tomorrow, so he couldn't come. The other two girls, Beth and Rosie, have come with me. I'm married very happily for the second time to Jim. We have been married for 10 years, been together for 20. Both very, very lucky to have found a second marriage, sort of life in two halves, really. He has two lovely boys, Patrick and Jonathan. Patrick's married, and probably we have seven grandchildren. I've just explained. His boys haven't even started yet, so we could be in double figures by 2010. But yes, it's a big, and my ex-husband remarried, and he has three children, and we all get on actually rather well. You know, we like each other. Why wouldn't you? You know, you forgive things and get over them, move on.
And do you have your family watching you online? Those, yes, my
son, his wife, and the two that live here are here. He's in Tokyo, so it's early evening in Tokyo, so he should be able to look in from a cocktail bar somewhere in Tokyo, I suppose. My daughter in Amsterdam will be, yes, yeah, online. I'm glad it's available online. Seems to have sorted out some of the blips.
So we're trying to get a picture of the people who are going up on the plinth. How would you describe yourself?
Smug. Happy. Happy, contented, fulfilled. Stretched with work. Sometimes... No, I wouldn't ever wish to reduce my workload. I love it. But sometimes I feel that there isn't enough time for work, and all the involvement I want with my family. And then the other bits that I try and do, which are, you know, domestic bits or cultural bits, they tend to get low down on the priorities to a certain extent. But I balance them.
Is there anything you'd like to add to the interview before we finish?
I think my family have added enough outside the window. I can hear them all now. But that's as it should be.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.